15. Glenn Belsner removed the polyencephalic cylinder from his aching head, set it carefully down, rose unsteadily to a standing position. He rubbed his forehead and experienced pain. "That was a bad one," he said to himself. "We did not do well this time at all." Going unsteadily to the dining hall of the ship, he poured himself a glass of tepid, bottled water. He then rummaged in his pockets until he found his powerful analgesic tablet, popped it into his mouth, swallowed it with more of the reprocessed water. Now, in their cubicles, the others stirred. Wade Fraser tugged at the cylinder, which enclosed his brain and skull and scalp, and a few cubicles off, Sue Smart, too, appeared to be returning to active awareness of a homoencephalic kind. As he helped Sue Smart off with her heavy cylinder, he heard a groan, a lament telling of deep suffering. It was Seth Morley, he discovered. "Okay," Belsner said. "I'll get to you as soon as I can." All of them were coming out of it now. Ignatz Thug yanked violently at his cylinder, managed to detach it from its screw lock base at his chin. He sat up, his eyes swollen, an expression of displeasure and hostility on his wan, narrow face. "Give me a hand," Belsner said. "I think Morley is in shock. Maybe you better get Dr. Babel up."
"Morley'll be all right," Thug said huskily.
He rubbed his eyes, grimacing as if nauseated.
"He always is."
"But he's in shock. His death must have been a bad one." Thug stood up, nodding dully.
"Whatever you say, Captain."
"Get them warm," Belsner said. "Set up the standby heat to a higher notch." He bent over the prone Dr. Milt and Babel. "Come on, Milt," he said emphatically as he removed Babel's cylinder. Here and there, others of the crew sat up, groaned. Loudly to them all, Captain Belsner said, "You are all right now. This one turned out to be a fiasco, but you are going, as always, to be fine. Despite what you've gone through, Dr. Babel will give you a shot of something to ease the transition from polyencephalic fusion to normal homeoencephalic functioning." He waited a moment, then repeated what he had said. Seth Morley, trembling, said,
"Are we aboard Persis 9?
"You are back on the ship," Belsner informed him. "Back aboard Persis 9. Do you remember how you died, Morley?"
"Something awful happened to me," Seth Morley managed to say.
"Well," Belsner pointed out, "you had that shoulder wound."
"I mean later, after the tench. I remember flying a squib. It lost power and split up, disintegrated in the atmosphere. I was either torn or knocked into pieces. I was all over the squib by the time it had finished plowing up the landscape."
Belsner said, "Don't expect me to feel sorry for you." After all, he himself and the polyencephalic fusion had been electrocuted. Sue Smart, her long hair tangled, her right breast peeping slyly from between the buttons of her blouse, gingerly touched the back of her head and winced.
"They got you with a rock," Belsner told her.
"But why?" Sue asked. She seemed dazed still. "What did I do wrong?"
Belsner said, "It wasn't your fault. This one turned out to be a hostile one. We were venting our long-term pent-up aggressiveness. Evidently." He could remember, but only with effort, how he had shot Tony Dunkelwelt, the youngest member of the crew.
"I hope he won't be too angry," Captain Belsner said to himself. "He shouldn't be. After all, inventing his own hostility, Dunkelwelt had killed Bert Kosler, the cook of Persis 9.
"We snuffed ourselves virtually out of existence," Captain Belsner noted to himself.
"I hope, I pray, the next one is different."
"It should be. As in previous times, we probably managed to get rid of the bulk of our hostilities in that one fusion. That, what was it? Delmach O episode." To Babel, who stood unsteadily fooling with his disarranged clothing, Belsner said,
"Get moving, Doctor. See who needs what. Painkiller, tranquilizer, stimulants, they need you. But," he leaned close to Babel, "don't give them anything we're low on, as I've told you before, and as you ignore."
Leaning over Betty Jo Berm, Babel said,
"Do you need some chemical therapy help, Miss Berm?"
I think I'll be okay,"
Betty Jo Berm said as she sat painstakingly up.
"If I can just sit here and rest,"
she managed a brief, cheerless smile.
"I drowned," she said.
"Ugh." She made a weary but now somewhat relieved face.
Speaking to all of them, Belsner said quietly but with firm insistence, I'm reluctantly writing off that particular construct as too unpleasant to try for again.
But, Fraser pointed out, lighting his pipe with shaking fingers, it's highly therapeutic, from a psychiatric standpoint.
It got out of hand, Sue Smart said.
It was supposed to, Babel said as he worked with the others, rousing them, finding out what they wanted. It was what we call a total catharsis. Now we'll have less free-floating hostility surging back and forth between everyone here on the ship.
Ben Tallchief said,
Babel, I hope your hostility toward me is over, he added. And for what you did to me, he glared.
The ship, Seth Morley murmured.
Yes, Captain Belsner said, slightly, sardonically amused.
And what else have you forgotten this time? Do you want to be briefed?
He waited, but Seth Morley said nothing. Morley seemed still to be entranced.
Give him some kind of amphetamine, Belsner said to Dr. Babel, to get him into a lucid state.
It usually came to this with Seth Morley. His ability to adapt to the abrupt transition between the ship and the polyencephalically determined worlds was negligible.
I'll be okay, Seth Morley said, and shut his weary eyes.
Clambering to her feet, Mary Morley came over to him, sank down beside him, and put her lean hand on his shoulder. He started to slide away from her, remembering the injury to his shoulder, and then he discovered that, strangely, the pain had gone. Cautiously, he patted his shoulder. No injury. No blood-seeping wound.
Weird, he thought.
But I guess it's always this way, as I seem to recall.
Can I get you anything?
His wife asked him.
Are you okay?
He asked her. She nodded.
Why did you kill Sue Smart? He said.
Never mind,
he said, seeing the strong, wild expression on her face.
I don't know why, he said, but this one really bothered me. All the killing. We've never had so much of it before. It was dreadful.
We should have been yanked out of this one by the psycho circuit breaker as soon as the first murder took place.
You heard what Fraser said, Mary said. It was necessary. We were building too many tensions here on the ship.
Morley thought, I see now why the tench exploded. When we asked it, what does Persis 9 mean? No wonder it blew up. And with it, took the entire construct, piece by piece.
The large, far too familiar cabin of the ship forced itself onto his attention. He felt a kind of dismal horror, seeing it again. To him, the reality of the ship was far more unpleasant than, what had it been called? Delmach O, he recalled.
That's right.
We arranged random letters provided us by the ship's computer. We made it up, and then we were stuck with what we made up. An exciting adventure turned into gross murder. Of all of us, by the time it had finished. He examined his calendar wristwatch. 12 days had passed. In real time, 12 whole overly long days. In polyencephalic time, only a little over 24 hours. Unless he counted the 8 years at Tekel Upharsin, which he could not really do, it had been a manufactured recall datum, implanted in his mind during fusion, to add the semblance of authenticity in the polyencephalic venture.
What did we make up? He asked himself blearily. The entire theology, he realized.
They had fed into the ship's computer all the data they had in their possession concerning advanced religions. Into TENCH-889B had gone elaborated information dealing with Judaism, Christianity, Mohammedanism, Zoroastrianism, Tibetan Buddhism, a complex mass out of which TENCH-889B was to distill a composite religion, a synthesis of every factor involved.
We made it up, Seth Morley thought, bewildered.
Memory of Spektowski's book still filled his mind. The intercessor, the mentifacturer, the walker on earth, even the ferocity of the form destroyer. Distillate of man's total experience with God. A tremendous logical system, a comforting web deduced by the computer from the postulates given it, in particular the postulate that God existed. And Spektowski? He shut his eyes, remembering. Egon Spektowski had been the original captain of the ship.
He had died during the accident which had disabled them. A nice touch by Tench 889B to make their dear former captain the author of the galaxy-wide warship, which had acted as the base of this, their latest world. The awe and near worship which they all felt for Egon Spektowski had been neatly carried over to their episode on Delmach O, because for them, in a sense, he was a god, functioned in their lives as a god would. This touch had given the created world a more plausible air. It fitted in perfectly with their preconceptions. The polyencephalic mind, he thought, originally an escape toy to amuse us during our 20-year voyage. But the voyage had not lasted 20 years. It would continue until they died, one by one, in some indefinably remote epoch, which none of them could imagine. And for good reason. Everything, especially the infinitude of the voyage, had become an endless nightmare to them. We could have survived the 20 years, Seth Morley said to himself, knowing it would end. That would have kept us sane and alive. But the accident had come, and now they circled forever, a dead star. Their transmitter, because of the accident, functioned no longer. And so an escape toy, typical of those generally used in long interstellar flights, had become the support for their sanity. That's what really worries us, Morley realized. The dread that one by one we will slip into psychosis, leaving the others even more alone. More isolated from man and everything associated with man. God, he thought, how I wish we could go back to Alpha Centaurus, if only. But there was no use thinking about that. Ben Tallchief, the ship's maintenance man, said, I can't believe we made up Spektowski's theology by ourselves. It seems so real, so airtight. Belsner said, the computer did most of it. Of course it's airtight. But the basic idea was ours, Tony Dunkelwelt said. He had fixed his attention on Captain Belsner. You killed me in that one, he said. We hate one another, Belsner said. I hate you, you hate me. Or at least we did before the Delmach O episode. Turning to Wade Fraser, he said, Maybe you're right. I don't feel so irritated now. Gloomily, he said, But it'll come back, give or take a week or so. Do we really hate one another that much? Sue Smart asked. Yes, Wade Fraser said. Ignatz Thug and Dr. Babel helped elderly Mrs. Rockingham to her feet. Oh, dear, she gasped, her withered and ancient face red. That was simply dreadful. What a terrible, terrible place. I hope we never go there again. Coming over, she plucked at Captain Belsner's sleeve. We won't have to live through that again, will we? I do think, in all honesty, that life aboard the ship is far preferable to that wicked, uncivilized little place. We won't be going back to Delmach O, Belsner said. Thank heavens. Mrs. Rockingham seated herself. Again, Thug and Dr. Babel assisted her. Thank you, she said to them. How kind of you. Could I have some coffee, Mr. Morley? Coffee? He echoed, and then he remembered. He was the ship's cook. All the precious food supplies, including coffee, tea, and milk, were in his possession. I'll start a pot going, he told them all. In the kitchen, he spooned heaping tablespoonfuls of good black ground coffee into the top of the pot. He noticed then, as he had noticed many times before, that their store of coffee had begun to run low. In another few months, they would be out entirely. But this is a time at which coffee is needed, he decided, and continued to spoon the coffee into the pot. We are all shaken up, he realized, as never before. His wife Mary entered the galley. What was the building? The building? He filled the coffee pot with reprocessed water. That was the Boeing plant on Proxima 10, where the ship was built. Where we boarded it, remember? We were 16 months at Boeing, getting trained, testing the ship, getting everything aboard and straightened out, getting Persis 9 spaceworthy. Mary shivered and said, Those men in black leather uniforms. I don't know, Seth Morley said. Ned Russell, the ship's MP, entered the galley. I can tell you what they were. The black leather guards were indications of our attempt to break it up and start again. They were directed by the thoughts of those who had died. You would know, Mary said shortly. Easy, Seth Morley said,
putting his arm around her shoulder. From the start, many of them had not gotten along well with Russell, which, considering his job, could have been anticipated.
"Someday, Russell," Mary said, "you're going to try to take over the ship. Take it away from Captain Belsner."
"No," Russell said mildly. "All I'm interested in is keeping the peace. That's why I was sent here. That's what I intend to do, whether anyone else wants me to or not."
"I wish to God," Seth Morley said, "that there was really an intercessor."
He still had trouble believing that they had made up Spektowski's theology.
"At Tekel Upharsin," he said, "when the Walker on Earth came to me, it was so real. Even now it seems real. I can't shake it off."
"That's why we created it," Russell pointed out. "Because we wanted it. Because we didn't have it and needed to have it. Now we're back to reality, Morley. Once again, we have to face things as they are. It doesn't feel too good, does it?"
"No," Seth Morley said.
Russell said,
"Do you wish you were back on Delmach O?"
After a pause, he said,
"Yes." "So do I,"
Mary said at last.
"I'm afraid," Russell said, "that I have to agree with you. As bad as it was, as bad as we acted, at least there was hope. And back here on the ship," he made a convulsive, savage, slashing motion, "no hope, nothing, until we grow old like Mrs. Rockingham and die."
"Mrs. Rockingham is lucky," Mary said bitterly.
"Very lucky," Russell said, and his face became swollen with impotence and bleak anger and suffering.